Well, this morning we begin a new series for the season of summer, looking at seven topics that come up in our faith journey. And we'll be using summer, this season, as our inspiration and our muse for exploring these topics. And so today we have a scripture reading out of Matthew 6, 25 through 33. It's a common and an often read passage of scripture about worrying and the birds of the air. These words may seem very familiar to you. But I'm reminded, throughout my faith journey and throughout, really my experience, as following God and following Christ, it's important to come back to these familiar stories. It's important to come back to these stories that we may have heard, countless times throughout our lives. And even if this story is new to you, if it's a new story, it's important to hear these words, especially as our priorities and our schedules and lives may change around us. It's important to remember where our grounding is and where our true priorities lie. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 25 of chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of any more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what we will eat, or what we will drink, or what will we wear? For it is in the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The word of God, again, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, I loved summer. I loved how we'd get out of school, because I hit that point, every year, even when I was in college and graduate school, I hit that point about a week before school got out where I was just done. I was done with the schoolwork. I was done with my classmates. I loved them. They were great, but I was done with them at that point. I was ready to do something different. And part of this, it's that restlessness, I think, that comes. Because we know, a schedule change is coming. New things are going to come up. There's going to be different things for us to focus on. And especially when I got older in high school and on through college, I was looking forward to working for a while, ready to do something totally different. If we think about our lives, too, we have these moments of restlessness where we're ready to try something new, or perhaps we're ready to move on to the next thing. But there's also moments as well where life throws us a curveball that we were not expecting. And so instead of looking forward to a change in opportunity, a change in priorities, or a change in schedule, we find ourselves working with a schedule, a set of priorities that we were not planning on at all. And this is a constant in our lives. Even if we're folks who love structure, who love order, who love things going a certain way, that structure and that order, it changes. Change is a constant part of our experience, a constant part of our lives, whether we like it when we seek it out, or whether it comes our way in ways we did not expect or even want. In fact, I believe for us in these moments when we have these changes of schedule, the seasonal change, it's important for us to take that stock of where we are. It's important for us to take a quick look at what is our priority in life. Where are our priorities? Where are we putting our energy? Where are we putting, our spiritual energy and even our emotional energy? Where are we placing these things? Because I believe if it's a time, especially where it's not in a time of high stress or anxiety, that's actually a really good time to take that inventory. So then when we do have those times of stress and anxiety, we can come into it perhaps a little more prepared. Very much that Boy Scout mantra of be prepared was drilled into me, and it's amazing how that carries out in I'm more of amazed of how it carries off to other parts of my life. But there's times that even then I struggle and fail, you know, with that. Now, some of you may have noticed, if you're connected on social media, Christina and I, we took just a quick Sabbath away up at Estes Park. We went camping up there. And as much as we, you know, planned, prepared for the weather, we looked at the forecast, we saw it was going to be wet the whole time, had clothing appropriate, I'm still thinking it's June, and I should be able to wear shorts and T-shirts. So when we drove to the top of, you know, the Trail Ridge Road to the Alpine Visitor Center, and it was snowing buckets up there, I was not prepared for that weather. The jacket I had, I was wet, and I was cold, and I will admit I was in those beautiful spots up there, but for a while I was freezing and ready to get back in the car to come back down. But I also remember all these other trips I took as a Boy Scout outdoors, where we would plan for the weather to be one way. We'd plan, you know, thinking, you know, it's going to be sunny, it's going to be beautiful, you know, we'll be ready for that, and then it would be, you know, sleeting, and we'd be frozen in our tents. But we also had the opposite happen as well. We would plan for the weather to be, you know, perhaps for it to be raining buckets, for it to be, you know, freezing cold, and it would totally shift to where it was sunny, it was warm, and instead of, you know, being frozen, we were sweating because we had clothes, you know, for different conditions. I think about, you know, how these ways in which we can prepare ourselves for the weather, that even if we make the right and calculated decision, you know, using all of the information and knowledge we have available to ourselves, we'll have those moments where all that planning, all that we had hoped for may not come to fruition. It may not work for us. However, I believe in those moments, when we have those moments that function metaphorically for us, I believe there are still things we can be grounded in. We can be grounded in the hope that we have from God. We can be grounded in the hope that we have from our Savior. Now, our scripture reading here, when we go through this, I've read this scripture reading, I have taught this scripture reading, and I've often focused on the worry and the anxiety aspects of this scripture. And this is given to a people when this Jesus was given these teachings. I mean, life was always by a thread. It was always, you know, by a little bit. If it did not rain just right, or if it rained too much at the wrong time, you know, it was life or death. It was that kind of living for the people that Jesus was teaching and working with. If the fishermen were out fishing and they didn't catch anything in a certain time period, you know, life was going to be extremely hard and difficult for them. And so in some ways, I'll admit, from a 2019, you know, perspective where I'm at in life, it causes me and convicts me to how and reminds me how blessed I am, how fortunate I am to have what I have, and I'm thankful for that, because this really convicts me of that. And so when I grouse and complain about things, it reminds me, you know, you really have it pretty good. So that helps me, reminds me of how, you know, blessed I am and how fortunate I am, and really how hardy our spiritual forebears were. I mean, they were a whole lot hardier and even more dependent on God than I may be able to fully grasp, because life and death was so close for them. So when Christ is giving these words of reminding, you know, people that they will be cared for, that they will have food, they will have clothing, you know, these very basics of life, in some ways, it would be revolutionary for them to hear this, because they knew how hard life can be. And then Jesus throws this curveball right here at the end, this curveball in verse 33. You know, because Christ is giving all these, you know, assurances, giving this grounding and reminding the people that they'll be cared for. And then he shares them, but strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, in some ways, it could seem odd having this verse at the end of this passage, but it's a reshaping, a regrounding of priorities. It's a regrounding and reordering of what people are considering important. Because when we face life, we face these hardships, a lot of times we'll become laser focused on the trouble that is right before us, and everything else kind of falls away. But Christ is calling for that regrounding back into God, back into Christ, back into that hope that comes from our God and from our Christ, of striving for the kingdom of God. Now, this reordering of priorities here, or perhaps a giving of priorities in this passage, again, it can seem a bit jarring, it can seem a bit odd, but I see it as life-giving. We see it as something that reminds us of what is important. Because if I think back to school when I was waiting for summer to come, waiting for that opportunity to get out of the classroom and to go out and about and go to work or go swimming or hang out with my friends, or perhaps when I was waiting for that, you know, that change, that graduation, so I could move on to the next phase in life and actually serve the church, and from my experience, instead of just being in school, those moments right there when I am hoping and waiting for the other thing, and even those moments, my priorities would be a bit off. Instead of perhaps of being grounded in God, being grounded in Christ, I was really coming back and being a bit more focused on myself. But I believe our God calls us here in these moments when we're hoping for that change, hoping for something better, to hope for the right thing, to hope for the thing that is truly life-giving. Because we can get overwhelmed by what goes on between our ears. We can be overwhelmed by messages that we receive from other people, the messages that we are bombarded with. And instead of having our priorities in the right order that is life-giving, we might think we're chasing what is life-giving, but instead, it's not. Instead, we find ourselves feeling deficient and worn out. But rather, it is our God that gives us life. It is our God that gives us hope and that true life that is sustaining. So, brothers and sisters, as we go into this season, as we go through this time of year, as we are considering all the changes that we're going through with the season, I believe it's important for us to stay grounded on the priorities that give us life, that priority and that love that comes from God, for us to be grounded in that love, be grounded in that hope, so that when things do go in a way we don't plan for or hope for, we are grounded, we are rooted in what can give us life. Because life will change. Life will throw us curveballs. Life will come at us in ways that we cannot fathom. But yet our God is there. Our God gives us life and hope that is everlasting. It goes beyond what we can imagine. And gives us something more. It gives us that life that is true life. And not a facsimile of it. So, brothers and sisters, let us stay grounded and keep our priorities with our God so we can have that life. Brothers and sisters, I know we'll have trouble at times with this, but it is our God who is willing for us to be restored and to come back. So let us live into that once more. Amen.